It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
And here I am, and welcome to the program. We are super excited. We've got some neat stuff for you today on the show. First, let me tell you that coming up on Monday, we're going to have another show on television on WESH, and it's going to be about longevity and inflation, what to do about those twin sisters of destruction for your retirement. So be sure to tune in at 12:30. And if you can't watch it during the day, well, make sure you set your DVR, your TiVo, or whatever recordable device. What else they have? Eight tracks for music.
VHS,
beta, whatever you've got that works, well, record it because it'll be a good program. And we have another special treat for you in our studio today, who will also be featured on the television show on Monday, is Shannon McAvoy from my office. Hey, Shannon.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
She's very happy to be here. There we go. A little bit of applause for Shannon. Not canned at all, ladies and gentlemen. Shannon's going to be joining us on the program today. A little bit later in the program, we're going to talk about planning your retirement. Of course, we talk about planning your retirement a lot. So more specifically, when should you retire? Should you retire early? And what does early mean? So stick around, Shannon.
I will.
All right, very good. Okay, but before we do that, we have to get to the most exciting 5 minutes in finance with...
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
What's this, Scott?
I thought all that flowery buildup was for me.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. You're, you know, out with the old and in with the new.
Know.
You know, you've already had that. You know, we recently celebrated your 1 year anniversary with Holland Financial with quite a bit of fanfare in the office.
Yeah. Everybody seemed to remember it right about 10 minutes till 5. That was terrific.
It was big after that, though.
Yeah.
Well, but not to delay 10 minutes after 5. What do you say about the markets?
Thursday's market had some excitement to it. The Dow ended up 28 points, S&P up 8 points, NASDAQ up 22 points, oil up $1.75, but there was some craziness at the end of the day with oil, and gold up just a little teeny tiny bit after Wednesday's big sell-off, up 580 at 1717.
You saw my list, because I want to know about gold, I want to talk about oil.
Yeah, you want that now?
No, go ahead. Do the rest of your fastest
We had a fair number of economic announcements on Thursday's market as well. On every Thursday, we get the new jobless claims number. Down a little bit, down 2,000 to 351,000.
Still, that 350 number is a good number. It's not. I know it's not fast enough. Scott is very anxious, ladies and gentlemen, for us to get out of this hole we're in. And a 350,000 number of new applicants for unemployment, it's not going to get us there.
And 2,000 could easily be a pencil whip number. I mean, there's no real reason to think that that's an actual number.
Well, somebody could have just not erased a number.
It could be anything like that. So
okay.
We get the big unemployment report next week on Friday. Most economists are expecting 200,000 new jobs. They're new jobs, but it's still, you know, it's half what we need.
You know what's funny, Scott? Sorry to interrupt you again. But you know what? When we started the show last year, we were taking bets, Remember, we were taking bets almost daily on when the unemployment number is going to get below 400.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we have come a long way. There's no doubt about it. But still, we have still a very long way to go. ISM Manufacturing Index on Thursday as well showed more growth in manufacturing at 52.4. Remember, that's a diffusion index, which means the higher above 50, the stronger, the lower below 50, the weaker. Analysts expected 54.5. So still growth in manufacturing, but a slowing of the growth in manufacturing. So that's not such great news. Personal income gained to 0.3% in January, according to the Commerce Department. Increase was expected to be 0.4%. So again, you know, it seems like I say this every single day. Right direction.
Just not fast enough.
The right.
Still first gear on the interstate.
That's right.
You know, when you say the word diffusion index,
I love that.
Well, I know you love it, but you realize that for about 5 seconds after that, everybody's just completely tone deaf.
But it's really an important economic thing, and you see them all over the place. You just don't realize it.
Corporate news, it's basically how much above 50. Is that what it is?
Yeah, the further above 50, the stronger it is.
Okay, and that's all it means.
That's really all it means.
Okay.
Well, some numbers use 100. Most of them use 50. Corporate news before Lisa hits me. Walmart announced that they are going to increase their dividend by 9%. That's a pretty strong move on a dividend increase.
That is a big number. 9% increase
of
in
the dividend.
Of the dividend. Okay. What kind of dividend do they pay now?
They're paying $1.59. It's probably in the 3-ish range.
Okay.
3% range.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Walton Company still owns about half of that. Walton family still owns about half of that company, so...
I didn't know that. Half of Walmart is still owned by the family.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll bet most people don't know that.
Well, there you go. And Ford announced auto sales gained 14.4%. Sounds like a terrific number, lower than the 18.3% increase analysts had expected.
You can't keep the analysts happy. Either you're over, you're under, never just right. But we will be just right when we get back. We're going to take a short break, and we'll have more. And I have a very interesting piece of investment news that you won't believe. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
We're going to break it down for you. Now, before we do, this is very funny, okay? I was reading, you know, all these magazines and newspapers and all these things we have to read to keep track of what's going on in the world and advise our clients. You know, we get very serious magazines. Investment News is one of them, and it's for financial people. Well, I'm going through it, and in the very back, they have these interesting little tidbits of information. Well, listen to this. The number of additional calories that the average American consumer or average American consumes annually from added sugar compared to 1977. So basically, how much more sugar you get in your beverages since 1977, what is that, 35 years ago? This number is amazing, 43,000. Now, what in the world does that have to do with anything? Well, I thought it was funny that it was in the investment magazine, but here is, you know, everybody's got their tricks and gimmicks, and especially when it comes to investments, but it's no different than all the tricks and gimmicks for dieting and all of this. Listen to this. If you simply, anybody out there want to lose 10 pounds this next 12 months? Okay. I'm not asking for a show of hands in this studio. Okay. Okay. Don't do that to me. But if you want to lose 10 pounds, don't drink any beverage. Don't drink any sodas. Don't drink anything juices or any of that stuff because a lot of calories are in these beverages. So here's the math. And I finally figured this out after 40 some years on the planet. A pound of fat is 3,500 calories. So if you consume 35,000 calories in a year from drinking sodas or whatever, that's 10 pounds. So just by not drinking your soda, you have a soda every day, every couple of days, don't drink it. Just drink water, milk, you know, your basic stuff. Okay. Nothing to do with the world of finance, but I thought that was extraordinarily interesting in the investment magazine. Now, Scott's over there going, get on with it, David. So, Scott, where were we?
Well, we just pretty much finished up Thursday's wrap-up, except for one other little thing I did want to talk about that really flew under the radar on the news headlines, but it's really so important, and we have talked about it many times in the past. Big Spanish bond auction overnight on Wednesday night. Got the results Thursday morning. Spanish yields way, way, way down. Way down. 2015 Spanish bond has yielded 261. 2016 bond, a four-year yield, 337.
Got a 10-year for me?
No, they didn't do a 10-year auction. Not today. But those are way down.
We're all wondering, Scott, why do you think that is?
Because the European Central Bank put so much money in the system earlier this week.
They dumped gobs of money into it, right?
It took risk away.
Because there's so much liquidity and people can and the institutions can get money.
Yeah, but as an investment manager, it makes me less defensive. It makes me less defensive that these yields have come down so much. Because remember, earlier this week, we had an Italian auction that also brought yields down significantly.
Now, when you say less defensive, are you speaking about the investments you're making in our portfolios for our clients in those European markets or in general?
In general.
Okay. So, because the risk in the overall system is coming down.
Yeah, I think the biggest risk facing investors right now is a European collapse. I don't think there's any question about that.
Would you say that more liquidity in the system usually gives less risk? Is that too loaded?
I think it's a short-term solution, okay, if that's your question.
Well, because what I'm thinking of the flip side is that by injecting more money into the system, you know, we see our gold bugs, our gold friends who say, okay, there's a possibility of more QE3, more stimulus and buying of the bonds and putting more cash in the system. They get concerned about inflation.
Well, they do, and gold, as we know, on Wednesday sold off significantly, was down about 5%, got a little bit of a bounce on gold on Thursday, but really there is the big thing that's missing in the gold market right now that most analysts think is going to prevent it from going back up to 1,800 an ounce right away is the so-called physical community or the physical market, which are the non-speculators, the non-traders, the jewelers, people like that. They don't want to pay $1,800 an ounce. They don't want to pay $1,700 an ounce, so that's a big piece of buying pressure that's not in the market right now.
So that's a drag.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, because if you're going to look at other alternatives for getting that wedding ring or wedding band or whatever it is, that instead of buying gold, you might say, well, wait a minute. In fact, I heard platinum was actually lower than gold for a little while here. So
yeah, and silver has been an extremely volatile market, but silver has an industrial uses that gold doesn't necessarily have.
I mean, how many things are made out of gold that are for industrial?
Yeah, not many.
Not much. Okay. Well, we're getting the five-second warning from Lisa, and by the time I tell you we're going to break, that 5 seconds will be up. Stay tuned. We have to talk about oil, okay? So hang in there. Scott, you hang in. We'll be right back.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back, not from outer space, but from this planet, and we are going to talk a little bit about oil. Now, Shannon, I heard that you just filled up your tank. How much did it cost to fill up your tank of gas?
Roughly $42.
All right.
In a Honda Civic.
And so we figured, what was that, about $370 a gallon?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, there
That's
you go.
That's high. Does that change your driving habits or make you drive less?
Is that a real question?
Yeah.
Okay.
I drive a Honda Civic for that reason, so I don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Most of the speculation in the gold and the oil watching community is that when it reaches about $4 a gallon, that's when people start to change their habits. And we actually have seen consumption come down.
See, I thought you were asking Shannon if she can actually slow down.
No.
That's not happening.
Not happening.
No. But yeah, lots going on. I know you were interested in this. We have talked about the SWIFT payment system.
They're ready to throw the switch, right, to swiftly reduce Iran's ability to use that network of exchange.
Yeah, and even more so, there's a big bank based in UAE, United Arab Emirates, called the Noor Islamic Bank that handles about 60% of Iran's foreign oil transactions. They repatriate about 60% of the money, and they have agreed that they are no longer going to do that.
Wow.
They did that agreement in about mid-December or so, but it's starting to take place now. and the value of Iranian currency fell almost 20% as soon as they shut it off.
They're just cutting a deal with India. I think that they were willing to sell some oil to India for gold, not even dollars.
They have to.
And they've got an oil tanker, I think, that's off the coast. You remember where it is? It was off the coast of one of the other countries. That they haven't sold it. And they're like, hey, we've got this oil full of tanker full of oil.
Yeah.
How much will you pay us for it?
Yeah, it's not an asset if you can't get somebody to buy it.
Nothing's worth more than somebody's willing to pay for it.
Yeah, so that was mostly American pressure that was squeezing that bank. And there were some problems there because UAE is a good ally of ours.
Yeah, they are.
But the chairman of that bank is the son of the ruler. And so it's, you know, there was some political pressure
there. It's a lot of delicate stuff over there.
Yeah, and even more so, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is currently in Pakistan, and she is telling them, if you guys go through with this pipeline that they're building from Pakistan to Iran, we're going to really get you hard with some sanctions. So there is pressure from every direction on them.
Well, here's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. I think that, you know, we're looking at where gas prices are, obviously, around 370 national average. The prices are expected to go up. You know what? It's already higher than that in California. They're at 430. But here's a reality. There's a lot of folks that are all weighing in on what gas is going to do. If we see more tension, we could definitely see it increase. Plus, we got the summer driving month. So here's my little formula. You know, I always got to turn stuff into a formula. I got to build a spreadsheet if I'm going to figure out what's going to happen. Okay, we've got five different factors, I think, that are going to drive gas to go up. Okay, number one, Iran, Syria, which is a really close Iranian ally. And so what goes on in Syria will definitely affect Iran. And there's also, of course, the ever-present potential preemptive strike by Israel. Say that 10 times fast. And then you have that. So that's all number one. Number two is the refinery maintenance that they like to do when it comes time for us to drive in the summer or closing for a temporary cleanup. Number three, China and India every year want more oil. Speculative trading, which you already mentioned, Scott. They're going to get in on it and start bidding it up.
And we're not getting help from China and India on the sanctions.
No, no. Because their interest, well, China especially, their interests don't lie with ours. But India is just under, their growth is just...
It's slipping.
It's been so huge, though.
It's slipping, yeah.
I mean, they're over, how many people they got? They're over a billion people.
Yeah.
And then, our U.S. summer driving. So all of those things will definitely contribute. So my prediction is that we'll be looking at, in Florida, $4.75, another dollar on top of your $3.70 a gallon, Shannon. So next time you go to the pump, it may be closer to 50.
I remember when it was that way a few years ago.
Yeah, so there you go. Anything else on that, Scott?
Just one really kind of a crazy story. At the very end of the day on Thursday, there was a news story that came out that there was an explosion in an eastern Saudi Arabian pipeline. They're having some unrest there. And then the Saudis came out and they said, no, there's a fire, but it's not near the pipeline. And so nobody really could tell if there was an explosion or not, but oil prices spiked up really, really strongly and then dropped pretty quickly. So it looked like it was probably an erroneous story. But that's how volatile and sensitive oil prices are. They went from 107 to 110 in the course of about 45 seconds.
It's going to be jittery, but I think here's the bottom line for me. If it requires, in order to make this Iranian and Middle East situation get worked out, and Iran can't have nukes. We've talked about that. In order for that to get worked out, we've got to apply pressure, and it's going to hurt us too. So if that means in the short term we've got to pay more for gas, that for there to be long-term stability, meaning maybe a regime change, then that may be what has to happen. Well, but what has to happen right now is going to take a quick break. We'll come back. More good stuff. Don't go away.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we are back, and I have got some more to talk about. I've gotten a couple of requests to finish talking about the annuities, and you just heard the offer of the little booklet that I have. And I put that together because I've gotten a lot of questions over the years about whether annuities are an appropriate part of a retirement plan. And I do think they are, and I think they can be. They're not right for everybody, but they can definitely fit. And so I want to talk a little bit about annuities, and I left off I left off with our lecture. I'm not going to do that to you. But I did leave off talking a little bit about the different types and how it works. But before I get to that, this was an interesting story that I wanted to share with you. And I was hoping to get into it before we left the last segment, but I ran out of time talking about oil. Schwab, Charles Schwab, which is one of the big institutional money management companies that hold money. You see Chuck, you know, talk to Chuck. Charles Schwab is a custodian. They hold money that investors put there to be able to either do it themselves, where they pick stocks and mutual funds, or they hire an advisor, investment advisor like my firm, where we manage money for a fee. And so Schwab did a study. It was very interesting. They found that a lot of brokers are still looking to make the move from being with a brokerage firm, a wirehouse, to move over to being an independent advisor, becoming their own registered investment advisor. And it was a very interesting study. And they found a number of reasons. They wanted more freedom that comes with running their own business, ability to prioritize their clients' needs, not having pressure put on them to introduce additional services perhaps that they don't feel like are a fit for them or their clients, different services. So there's a trend, and I've seen this for a number of years, that more and more people are looking for that independent advice and that ability to work with somebody that can say, okay, talk to me about your situation, and there's not anybody else that is going to tell the broker what they need to recommend. And so that is especially important when we talk about annuities. And so with annuities, there are a lot of different types. I've talked a little bit about that. There are the three different types of deferred annuities we talked about on the last show, the traditional fixed annuity, where you earn a guaranteed rate of interest, or a fixed rate that can vary, but your principal is safe. The fixed index annuity, where you put your money in, principal is safe, but your interest is tied to how the market does. And it can also be tied to a fixed rate if you want. You can kind of split it up. And then the variable annuity, where your money is invested in the market. The couple of things that are important, we talked about just briefly, taxation. A lot of times people get tripped up on taxation. And Shannon, we've actually talked about this with clients and dealt with this and helping them understand how annuities are taxed. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you need to understand when you consider getting an annuity or you have an annuity is to pay attention to the taxation. It's LIFO, last in, first out. So if you earn interest in your annuity, it's tax deferred. That's good. And that may become very important as we move into 2013. If we see some significant tax law changes where dividends are taxed at ordinary income over 40%, or if we see interest earnings are also taxed, can be taxed at that ordinary income rate, people are going to become much more interested in tax deferred annuities. But the interest, anything earned in annuity is sheltered until you take the money out. You have the two types. We talked last time about the immediate annuity being a way to create your own pension. I love that. We've done that for many people. Shannon, you and I have worked on some clients' situations where they needed to create that income. Isn't it something where it's very often that when people come in and meet with us, that retirement income really is one of the most important things?
90% of the time.
Yeah. So see, very often, that is the focus. Now, when people are trying to figure out how much income they're going to need, people want that to be secure.
I mean, they
don't want their income to be fluctuating all over the place.
Especially with Social Security being the way it is.
Yeah, and people are concerned about Social Security. You know, Shannon has been with us 3.5 years now. She's an accredited asset management specialist and does a lot of work helping me and working with the clients and talking to people that may want us to manage their accounts. And one of the things that we have seen kind of evolve with the way we do our planning is it used to be Social Security was at the bottom of the plan, kind of the foundation. Now, where is it?
On the top.
Yeah, we put it up at the top. Yep. Because we don't want that to be perceived as a foundation. It could be forever. Social Security may be here forever, but I wouldn't bet on it. And we need to have other things that can serve as the foundation for income. That's where the annuity or a conservative investment portfolio can come in. So the annuity can work right alongside. In fact, you and I just met with a happy client who just decided to have us manage their money. And we went through her plan again with her. And, you know, she's got a combination of an investment account, mm-hmm. an annuity,
yep.
and Social Security.
Yep.
And that's her income. So there you go. It's just part of putting together the right mix and the right way to put a plan together. Now, we could take a quick break. We come back. Shannon and I are going to talk about some situations where we've worked with people that are trying to figure out when to retire. Should they retire early? When can they retire? What does that look like? What's involved? Stick around.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
This is your 2-minute warning.
And we're back. Yeah, it is a warning. Here is your warning for today. If you retire too soon, you could be in a world of hurt. Okay? You know, many people, when they retire, they leave their company they've worked with at kind of the peak. You know, they say they walk out and maybe they've been a vice president or they've been in very important position with their company. You don't want to have to come crawling back, say, I messed that up. Can I come back to work? Politically, you know, there is politics in the office, as all of you know. And so politically, that may be difficult. One of the things we've seen, and I wanted Shannon to talk with me a little bit about this, because we're dealing with this, you know, we're doing this on the ground every day working with clients. We've seen people that want to retire sometimes, you know, sometimes what most people would consider to be early.
Definitely.
So a couple of situations I thought we could talk about. Let's start with, I know, for example, one person, a couple that came in. Of course, we never disclose people's names, so we'll call them Mr. and Mrs. B. Mr. and Mrs. B, when they came in, they really were, I think, kind of tired. You know, They wanted to retire early, and so they wanted to retire actually before 60. And so some of the things that we realized in kind of working and talking through them with them is that there were some special challenges associated with that.
Absolutely, such as the 59 and a half rule.
A lot of people don't know, if you take your IRA, 401k kind of money, take it out before 59 and a half, you could have penalties. In order to avoid that, there's all this complexity of the Section 72T special tax code, that how you pull that money out. You've got to be real careful. It's got to be over a 5-year period. All this stuff. It's very limiting.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, and the challenge is that if you retire early, let's say you retire at 58 or whatever it is, there's several things. It's a compound effect. If you wait a little bit longer, you don't have to draw on your savings because you're still getting wages. Mm-hmm. Your funds that you would have drawn can stay invested to earn more. You and your employer contribute to make more contributions to your account. The savings you didn't have to pull on, you won't have to provide that income, so that money is there. And then you can end up taking more money later when you do retire, or one of the things we really like, we can be more conservative with your investments.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the different advantages. Now, other issues that people face when they retire early, Medicare, not having the money with Medicare, you have to bridge that gap from 60 or 55 or what it is to get to Medicare age of 65. And if you're retiring before 60, you also could run into not having Social Security till 62 at a minimum. So those are some of the issues that we face for this particular person we were working with. And we went up the planning. I mean, wasn't that a challenge?
Mm-hmm. Three separate plans.
Three had to redo the plan three times trying to get it right. And so it's very difficult trying to retire early. Now, when I say the word early, what does that mean? Well, it's earlier than your money can really let you do. If you've got gobs of money, you can retire whenever you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can help you do that. If you win the lottery, give us a call. We will help you do that. But you need to make sure that you've got it planned out. So early just means it's before what most people would do, but it may be too early for you. 65 might be too early for some people. Mm-hmm. Yep. There are times we can't draw money from the income plan that we've created for, what, a couple of years, right?
Yeah, 70 sometimes.
Yeah, so sometimes we have to wait. Now, there's another situation we dealt with, and we'll call them Mr. and Mrs. S. And with them, they realized as we started doing the planning, what are some of the, you remember some of the things that we realized as they weren't trying to retire before 60. They just were trying to not have to work to 65, right?
I think their main issue was trying to retire before Medicare and having to cover those health care costs.
So, you know, remember, Medicare kicks in at 65, and if you're working for a company, your company is helping at least somewhat pay for that health insurance, and it's a group plan, often less expensive than if you did it on your own. I can tell you firsthand what it costs to have 17 people insured for health insurance. It's a big number. And so the company is going to pay for all or part of that. Well, when you make that, if you make an early retirement, you might be looking, especially at that age, you might be looking at $500 or more a month just to pay for health insurance. And you also may not have the income you need to be able to get there. And again, as I talked about earlier, every year that you can wait, that's another year of income you're drawing for wages, and it's another year you don't have to pull on your account. Okay, Shannon? See, that was good stuff.
That was easy.
All right, easy stuff. Well, that's what we do. We work with people, and we try to make it easy. And we will be back tomorrow. So thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.